If you've got a Bible, find Acts chapter 11. We've been through the summer going through Acts. We're still there, got no desire to leave it. It's one of the most, I think, one of the most fun books because we see the birth of the church. And you know, some stories, it's really easy to, especially if you've been a Christian for a while, to read them and kind of skip over the detail. Because you know the story, we forget the detail. And this is one of those. So why don't you stand? We always stand when we read the Bible. So stand up again. We're going to read from Acts chapter 11, verse 19. Now, those who were scattered after the persecution that arose over Stephen traveled as far as Phoenicia, Cyprus, and Antioch, preaching the word to no one but the Jews. But some of them were men from Cyprus and Cyrene, who, when they had come to Antioch, spoke to the Hellenists, preaching the Lord Jesus. And the hand of the Lord was with them, and a great number believed and turned to the Lord. That's what we want to happen this week on the campus, okay? Then news of these things came to the ears of the church in Jerusalem, and they sent out Barnabas to go as far as Antioch. When he came and had seen the grace of God, he was glad and encouraged them all with purpose of heart that they should continue with the Lord. Just underline that, a purpose of heart. There is a purpose. There is something for us to do. For he was a good man, full of the Holy Spirit and faith, and a great many people were added to the Lord again. Then Barnabas departed for Tarsus to seek Saul. And when he had found him, he brought him to Antioch. So it was that for a whole year they assembled with the church and taught a great many people, and the disciples were first called Christians at Antioch. Fantastic. Take a seat. You see, we're all different, and the way we read the Bible tends to be a little different for each one of us. Some of the more prophetic-y kind of people, you'll tend to read for revelation. Some of the more practically minded people, it's the Bible is a manual for life, and we need both. And if you're reading for revelation, you need some manual. And if you're just reading for manual, what do I do? You need some revelation, okay? Because we need to look at it with both eyes. And what happens here is that Stephen has been martyred. And so there is a dispersion of the church because persecution now hits the church. And we'll look a little bit about persecution next week. And so the church is pushed northwards. And we should have a map. Again, most Bibles, and if you've got a phone, you can get the maps as well. But at the back, you have these maps. And I would really encourage you that when you're reading the stories, look on the map to see where it happened and to who it happened. Because the maps ground it. These are real places with real people who are interacting with a living God. So anyway, so what happens is that right at the bottom is Jerusalem. You might not be able to see, Palestine is in bigger. And then you've got the blue line up. And what happens is there is people are moving northwards because of the persecution in Jerusalem through Tyre, Sidon. And so Barnabas is sent up to Antioch. And so he makes a journey. And this is about a 150-mile journey. This isn't a walk down to Bradgate Park. Okay, this is a trek. And what we read is that those who were from Cyprus, which is where Barnabas is from, so I'm just trying to join up the dots for you, preached to the Hellenists. Now, I don't know if you remember them, but a few weeks ago, they were the ones that weren't getting the distribution of food. It's the troublemakers again, okay? It's the same group, okay? And they are the ones that started this whole thing off, because if it wasn't for them not getting the food, Stephen and Philip wouldn't have been appointed to serve them. Stephen wouldn't have got martyred, and Philip wouldn't have gone off preaching the gospel. So you start to see, as we read through Acts, the dots are starting to get joined up. So Barney is now sent to Antioch. And in my mind, this is where the adventure really starts. Antioch is going to become a beachhead to export the gospel to the world. Antioch is a special church, and I'm going to come back to that. But first, do you ever wonder what people say about you behind your back? You know, wouldn't you like to know? You know, I know you can leave your phone, can't you, somewhere, just to see what they say when you go out the room and things like that. But, you know, as each of us leave the church today, you know, what will people say about us when we go? Well, this is what, whenever Barnabas is mentioned, this is what the Bible says. He was a good man, full of the Holy Spirit and of faith. Barnabas was a good man. He had a good reputation. And when the Bible talks about being good, it's doing the right. He's a man who did the right things. He was full of Jesus and he had faith. You see, the thing that defines Barney, it's not about him. It's about Jesus. And as we see the story of Barnabas unfold through Acts, you're going to see this. You're going to see him become a major figure in the church. Why? Because for Barney, it's all about Jesus. You see, everybody often wants to be the Peters and the Pauls, the ones that are up front, the ones who are on the stage, the ones that have the limelight. But actually, the Holy Spirit is looking for the Barneys, who serve behind the scenes and love Jesus. Barney becomes a major player in the New Testament church. So Barney goes off to Tarsus to get Saul. And what he's going to do, the blue line goes round. He could have probably taken a quick jaunt across on his yacht if he had one. But they reckon it's about a 150-mile journey to get to Tarsus. Why is this so important? Because what I want you to see is we put the early church up as the high watermark, and it is, yet we are growing in it, so we should be seeing more. And I want you to see that in this incredible move of God, where the Holy Spirit is moving, many, many are getting saved, that the way the Holy Spirit works through people. And what you're going to see is that nothing that God does is ever random. He has a plan. He's working his plan out. So, the first thing I want to say, Barney is the one who'd initially believed in Saul. Remember when Saul gets converted and everyone's all panicky about, you know, because Saul's trying to kill the people in the church and throw them into prison. So the apostles don't want to, they're going, no, keep him away. And it's Barnabas who takes Saul to the apostles. And I want to tell you something. You need men and women around you who see the treasure that God has placed in you and will believe in you. Sometimes when we don't believe in ourselves, those people are gold in your life. You need people, men and women, who will take the journey with you. You see, what I want to say to all of you, and I don't care whether you're young or old, who are you going on a journey with? Who are you taking the journey with Jesus with? It's not just about you. It's about his people and who we walk with. And I really want to encourage, you need to be going on a journey with someone and you need to be taking people on a journey with you. Number two, it's in Jerusalem that Saul preaches to the Hellenists, okay? And they try to kill him, so he's expelled to Tarsus. He's sent to Tarsus. Go to Tarsus, Paul. Saul, you're running too hot. You're causing too much trouble in Jerusalem. We don't need that now. We've got enough trouble as it is. Go to Tarsus. So he's sent there. Do any of you know, when people come to faith, there's always the enthusiastic one, right? That's just completely over the top. That was me. I really was. I met Jesus and my whole life changed. I told all my friends at school. We did all sorts of stuff. Everywhere, it was just an opportunity to tell people about Jesus. Anyway, this little Anglican church, they invited me to come and tell my story because they thought they'd heard. I was 16 by now. I became a Christian when I was 13, 14. And they said, would you come and tell your story to the church? And the average age was about 100. And so anyway, I went there and I bought my gear. And I it was nothing like this, but it was like this. This big amplifier and this big speaker. And I had my tape player and I plugged it in. And I played them, Why Should the Devil Have All the Good Music, at full volume. And there weren't any heart attacks, but by the look at their faces, there could well have been. And for some unknown reason to me, I was never invited back. Okay, true story. But the thing is, inside of me, as a young Christian, a 16-year-old Christian, I knew that music in the church had to change. I was in church. I'd been in church now 2 years, and we were singing hymns that were 200 years old. Now, 200 years ago, they were German beer songs that had been, that the music was from German beer songs that John, Charles Wesley, all that gang, took the tunes and wrote Christian doctrine to the words, so that as we worshipped, we could also learn because of an illiterate population. But the music was good, because the music's always good, especially when people have had a few beers. Everything frees up. And I would go into church, people who are not drunk on wine, but are filled with the Holy Spirit, and it was like a funeral. And I'm sitting in these churches going, the music has to change. So something was on me as a 16-year-old that we've got to change this music. And you see, interestingly, the call on my life has never changed, the worship of Jesus Christ. And many of you don't know the battles that have been fought. When I grew up as a Christian teenager, and if you bought a guitar out, you could be thrown out of the church. There were books written called Pop Goes the Gospel, and how the wave of the Jesus People movement that started to come over here, and the music, and people like, you know, the heroes of the faith, like Larry Norman. You're all looking very blank. Ralph knows. He knows Larry Norman. Anyone know who Larry Norman is? Yes! There's another Ralph at the back. Do you know, I'm almost tempted to get my phone out and play it to you. Hey, hold it. I wonder if this will work. Hold it. This could work. This. Hold it. Let me just. How'd you do it? Hey. Okay, Joel's telling me not to. Look, I want you to know, Larry Norman was a giant. And he wrote a song called Why Should the Devil Have All the Good Music? That people were upset because he had long hair, but he was growing his hair out long to make room for his brain. And that was the lyrics of the song. And we were worshipping to it, but we were leading people to Jesus to it as well. There was this thrust, as this music came, people were coming to faith. You're lucky I can't find it on my phone. That's why some of these guys write their own music, because I go, we could do this one, and they go, no, we'll do something else. So now, whenever I see a zealous young man or woman, normally who talks about themselves a lot, I remember my young self, and I pray, light the fire again, Lord. Because the Lord loves the zealous. And he can always clear up the mess. What are we talking about? Oh yeah, Paul. So it's estimated that when Saul goes to Tarsus, he's there up to about 10 years. 10 years has passed. And he's making tents. He's no longer a famous Pharisee. He's now not even a famous Christian preacher. In fact, everyone has forgotten about him. He's old news, except Barnabas. Barnabas is willing to make a 150-mile journey to go and ask Saul to join the church at Antioch, because Barnabas is seeing the Hellenists come to faith, which was what Paul knew about in Jerusalem. Paul had seen it. The call on his life. Sorry, I'm switching to Saul and Paul, because in a few chapters Saul is going to change to Paul. Okay, so Barnabas had seen it. He'd seen the call on his life, and he goes to get him. And you look, you may have a call on your life. You may see things so clearly now, but there is a preparation that God wants to do in your life so that he can use you. And I want to tell you, until you've been through the fire, you can't be the offering. The Lord takes us through the fire, and for Saul, he took him out of the limelight. He gave up everything for Jesus Christ, and everybody forgot about him apart from one man, Barney. John Wimber used to say, "I don't trust any leader that doesn't have a limp." And what he meant was, I want to see people that have done business with God and have been through the fire and that know what it's like to live real life and have triumphed in real life through the power of the Holy Spirit in their lives. And they're not just saying words. And I would say to everyone here, are you willing to go through the fire? Are you willing to walk with Jesus no matter what? Because where do you think Saul, gets all of the revelation that he writes? He ends up writing most of the rest of the New Testament. Maybe it was when he was making tents, feeling sorry for himself, wondering whether he should have given up his fame and fortune. Maybe he could have made more of a difference if he'd have just stayed in Judaism. But there he is, Tarsus. No one cares. No one talks about him. Making tents. And he does business with the Lord Jesus Christ. And he prepares Paul for the most incredible adventure. And many people don't understand that the preparation that's happening in their lives is often going through the fire, so that their dependence is upon the Lord Jesus. Because, please hear this, Saul has an encounter on the Damascus Road. He's called personally by Jesus. He's healed by Ananias. He's championed by Barnabas, but he still needs 10 years in the wilderness making tents. Don't despise the wilderness, but be ready for the burning bush. You see, it really is in the wilderness the Holy Spirit trains us. If it was good enough for Moses, for Elijah, for Jesus, how about us? Will we walk with him wherever he leads us? And if you have a prophetic word over your life that's taken time to mature, are you still believing? Will you still believe him? Do you know someone who's tent making but years ago was on fire? Maybe he should be here now. Maybe you need to go get him or her. Do you know someone running from the call of God? How far are you willing to go and get them back? See, what I want you to see is the church grows in, as we go through the book of Acts, nothing happens by accident. The Holy Spirit uses willing, obedient people. He is not random. And I want to go as far as saying God is never spontaneous. He tells his prophets everything he's going to do. He speaks to us and he leads us. And Saul is now going to lead the Hellenists that tried to kill him, just as he tried to murder the church. The Bible calls that grace. And Barney refuses to let Saul miss the call of his life. And I want to say to every single one of you, will you refuse to let people miss the call of their life, even if they are going to rise above you? Because that's what you're going to see. You're going to see that Saul starts off as the disciple, but he's going to become the master. But Barney is a man. It's all about Jesus. It's not about him. And the Holy Spirit is looking for, yes, he's looking for the Peters, he's looking for the Pauls, but he's looking for the Barneys that will serve behind and release the ministries of God. When we came out of the vineyard, I was about 7 years ago, I was hurt, disappointed, and let down. But I'm grateful to the men and women around me that wouldn't let me wallow in my pain, that kept cheering me on and focusing me towards Jesus. But Barney, we're nearly done. Barney arrives at Tarsus and he says, I'm here to take you to Antioch. You wouldn't believe what God is doing. People are being saved every single week. Saul, we need you. This is what you saw. All that group that tried to kill you, the good news is they're now saved. Now you need to come. You need to come and join me and we're going to teach them. And I mean, I may be wrong because it doesn't say, but I'm just reading between the lines. I can just imagine. I'm not going. Why would I want to go to Antioch? Why would I want another failure? Why would I want people to reject me again? I'm just a tent maker. I'm happy just making tents. I'm too hurt and I don't believe in church anymore. I feel let down by the church. We're going to deconstruct now. We're only going to meet in little tiny groups because that's safe, and we're going to close the groups so no one can hurt us and no pain can get in. The church is full of hypocrites anyway. Have you heard any of these things? Word of advice. If you ever find the perfect church, do not join it because you will ruin it. All right? Remember Nathaniel, when Philip goes to him and he says, we found the Messiah. We found everything we're looking for. He says, can anything good come out of Leicester? And what does Philip say? Come and see. Come and see. Come for yourself. And if you won't come willingly, I'll drag you there. Some of you may have been dragged here this morning. You'll be eternally grateful for the person that's done the dragging. And somehow, Barney gets Saul to Antioch, dragging in him there. I think it took a lot of persuasion. I think Barney just wouldn't take no for an answer. You're coming. You see, people you might know might be feeling they should come to church, okay? But they're not sure it's God. What's happened is, so what tends to happen with people is the Holy Spirit goes ahead of you and he starts working on people. And they start thinking about God. They start praying. They don't even know why, okay? So he goes ahead. Then they don't know if it's God, and they don't know where to go and how to, you know, what they should do. So he speaks to somebody, one of his, who knows his voice, and he says, go get them. So when you go, you simply go to them and say, oh, God has sent me to bring you. And then they know it's God because it was already stirring in them. Get it? That's how it works. You're not convinced. But we're going to keep going. So let me ask you again. Do you know people who were once on fire that should be here? Do you know people who are asking those questions? Do you know that the Holy Spirit is talking to you about people? How far, what lengths will you go to get them? Barney would go 150 miles by donkey to go get them. And this is in the New Testament church where the Spirit of God is blowing, where the miracles are off the chart. And Barney will leave Antioch to go to Tarsus to get one person. What lengths will you go to? This is what James says. We need to move quick. Whoever turns a sinner from the error of their ways will save them from death and cover over a multitude of sin. The word for sinner here is actually complete moral failure. Whoever finds an absolute mess and brings them back with the inference on they've already had faith. So James is writing as a pastor and going, these people have backslidden. The Passion says this, finally, as members of God's beloved family, we must go after the one who wanders from the truth and bring him back. For the one who restores the sinning believer back to God from the error of his way gives back to his soul life from the dead and covers over countless sins by their demonstration of love. Now hear me, Saul was not a sinner, but someone had to go and get him to bring him into his calling. Now, your calling is never your identity. You know, it's not, I'm a pastor, I'm a prophet, I'm a business person. You know, it's really interesting that actually the person that God told about the calling over Saul is Ananias. He's the one that knew about the call. But in Tarsus, as Saul is making tents, the relationship becomes more important than the call. The knowing Jesus becomes more important than the call. But Barney can still see the call. And now there is relationship. He can see it worked out in Antioch. And so Barney and Saul teach for a year in this little church plant in Antioch. And the disciples were first called Christians in Antioch. Why? Well, who leads the church? Barney. It's all about Jesus. Saul, he's laid down everything to follow Jesus. And guess what? What's the culture of that church? For the first time, people look at a church and go, they're Christ ones. They're devoted to Jesus. The reason this church can become a beachhead, the reason this church can send the gospel to the nations is because of the devotion to Jesus. Mission always flows out of devotion to Jesus, not the other way around. The world needs a relationship with Jesus. And this church in Antioch has fallen in love with the Lord Jesus Christ. And it's led by Barney and Saul. And God is, and through that church, through that move, God is going to release the gospel to the world. What's my prayer for our little church? That we will become more and more devoted to the Lord Jesus Christ. And that when people look at us, they'll go, they're Christ's ones. They've been with Jesus. They know Jesus. They love Jesus. That we will be good people full of the Holy Spirit and faith. And I say good. That we'll conduct ourselves well. Our yes will be yes and our no will be no. Our business dealings will be honest. And that people will go, they have Jesus. That we would go to enormous lengths to bring people into their calling. That we would not give up with people. And, you know, whether they're complete moral failures, running from their call, or simply zealous, grace will always abound in this church. And the good news will explode to Leicester, Birmingham, Nottingham, Northampton, and to the ends of the earth. And the world will know the devil doesn't have all the good music. Because he's given us a song and a sound to worship him with. And his praise will be released from this place.